Good evening. Let's turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Let's ask the Lord to bless this time and the word that we have this evening. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the power of your word, how it works in each and every one of our lives to draw us closer to you. Father, as we open the scriptures this evening, guard our hearts and minds that we may be able to apply scripture to our daily lives and see the wonderful truths which you have in store for us. We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Each and every one of us, in the course of our lives, we face some really difficult challenges sometimes, don't we? We can have challenges with our children. We can have challenges with our spouses. We can have challenges with our health. We can experience challenges with our jobs. We can experience challenges just getting up out of bed and trying to function in a given day. And a lot of times as these challenges come our way, we have a marvelous opportunity to give glory to God with how we respond to these challenges and what our attitude is when we have these challenges that come forth and sometimes against us. How do we respond to challenges in our lives? Do we shy away from opportunities that we may have to witness, that we may have to give glory to God through coming through a trial? Do we trust in God as challenges come our way? Or do we fall apart? Do we try to do it with our own strength and with our own knowledge and in our own power? This evening, I'd like to look at an example from the scriptures, which gives us a perfect idea of how to deal with challenges as they come our way and come into our lives. We're going to look at the account, the biblical account of David and Goliath. Now, this is a story that we share in Sunday school with all of our children, but it has some really deep meaning for each and every one of us as we face challenges every day. We all have a Goliath, something which we think is bigger than God. And we all have something in our lives which presents a very big challenge to us. But as we look at David and how David responded to these challenges, this challenge that was before him, we're going to glean five truths, five biblical truths and principles that we can use in our lives as we face our own challenges. So we're in 1 Samuel chapter 17, and verses 1 through 3 of this passage set the setting. It says, "Now the Philistines gathered their armies together to battle, and they were gathered at Succoth, which belongs to Judah. They encamped between Succoth and Azekah in Ephesdamium. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together, and they encamped in the valley of Elah and drew up in battle array against the Philistines. The Philistines stood on a mountain on one side, and Israel stood on a mountain on the other side, and there was a valley between them." This sets the setting. It appears there's a stalemate in the battle. You have the Philistines on one side, you have the Israelites on the other, and you have a valley between them. Each side waiting for the other to make the first move. There's a stalemate going on. The battle doesn't appear to be going anywhere. And then picking it up in verse 4, we're introduced to Goliath. It says, "And a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had a bronze helmet on his head, and he was armed with a coat of mail. And the weight of the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. And he had bronze armor on his legs and a bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam, and his iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and his shield bearer went before him." This gives us a description of this man, and he is enormous. He is called the champion of the Philistines. He's the one that's going out, and he's in a moment we're going to see that he issues a challenge to kind of separate the men from the boys in this battle. Now, this is a description of what Goliath looked like. His height was 9 feet 9 inches. His coat of armor alone weighed 125 pounds, and the head of his spear weighed 15 pounds. Did you ever try to carry 15 pounds of water? How heavy that can be. And you're carrying that and it's over your head and you're carrying it a long distance and now you're trying to use it as a weapon. This man was big. This man was intimidating. And this man was somebody who really needed to be reckoned with. He was an intimidating sight. Picking it up in verse 8. Then he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel. And he said to them, "Why have you come out to line up for battle? Am I not a Philistine, and you the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourselves, and let him come down to me. If he is able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us." And the Philistine said, "I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together." When Saul and all Israel heard these words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. He comes out and he offers hand-to-hand combat with anybody that they choose in order to settle the score. Sounds like Saturday morning wrestling, doesn't it? This guy comes out and he is very boastful and he is very proud and he is very sure of himself. And he comes out and he presents himself to the armies and he's standing there in the middle. Now just picture this. Here is an intimidating man, very tall, very intimidating, standing in the middle of the battlefield where everybody can see him. Remember, there was a valley between them. He's standing in the middle of that valley and he's speaking all these boastful, all these intimidating words to these people. And they're just sitting there and they're taking this all in. He's very boastful. He's very prideful and he's very intimidating. And that was his pride and his self-confidence in himself, as we're going to see later, where the Achilles heel in Goliath. The Bible tells us in Psalm 5:5, "The boastful shall not stand in your sight," referring to God. And we see in Proverbs 28:25, "He who is proud of heart stirs up strife, but he who trusts in the Lord will be prospered." Goliath is very confident in his own ability and in his own, the way he does things. And he was also, he had to be very confident in the fact that he wasn't going to lose too. Because he said that if we win, you are our servants. But if we lose, we will be your servants. Do you think a man of that height and that power would ever be a servant to anyone? He wasn't going to be their servant regardless. He was very confident in his own ability and what he could do to issue such a challenge. Now we look back at the men of Saul. Now they're hearing all this. They're taking this all in. Now remember, these are trained soldiers. These are men who have been on the battlefield. They've probably been on the battlefield for some time now. Look what it says about them in verse number 11. It says, "When Saul and all Israel heard the words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid." Despite all their military training and everything going on, they were broken and shattered. They became concerned with the appearance of the challenge and failed to recognize the God who had so often in the past delivered them from trial after trial after trial. They were just looking at their circumstance. They became consumed with it, and it paralyzed them to the point that they couldn't do anything. They were dismayed. They were confused. They didn't know what to do. Can you just picture these people there? They're being challenged. They're just sitting there, these men of war, and they're all looking around. Who's going to take this challenge up? Waiting for someone else, hoping someone else would come forward and accept this challenge. But their fear had overcome them, and it paralyzed the entire army. They all just stood there and waited. Now we pick it up in verse number 12, and we meet David. Now David was the son of that Ephraimite of Bethlehem, Judah, whose name was Jesse, who had 8 sons, and the man was old, advanced in years in the days of Saul. The 3 oldest sons of Jesse had gone to follow Saul to the battle. The names of these 3 sons who went to battle were Eliab, the firstborn, next to him Abinadab, and the 3rd Shammah. David was the youngest, and the 3 oldest followed Saul. But David occasionally went and returned from Saul to feed his father's sheep at Bethlehem. And the Philistine drew near and presented himself 40 days, morning and evening. So here's a guy who's coming out for 40 straight days, issuing this challenge in the exact same way. And these people are terrified. Nobody's doing anything. I can just picture it. He's coming out day after day and he's saying the same thing. And the armies are just sitting there listening to this man boast and how he can do this. And nobody is doing anything. Verse 17. Then Jesse said to his son David, take now for your brothers an ephah of this dried grain and these 10 loaves and run to your brothers at the camp. And carry these 10 sheezes to the captain of their 1,000. And see how your brothers fare and bring back news of them. Now Saul and they and all the men of Israel were in the valley of Elah fighting with the Philistines. So David rose early in the morning, left the sheep with a keeper, and took the things and went as Jesse had commanded him. And he came to the camp as the army was going out to battle and shouting for the battle. For the Philistines had drawn up a battle array, army against army. And David left his supplies in the hand of the supply keeper, ran to the army and came and greeted his brothers. David is the youngest of Jesse's 8 sons. He's probably 17 or 18 years old. He's just a youth. And notice, he's not a man of war. He is a shepherd. He tends and he takes care of the sheep. So now his father says to him, I've here some supplies. I want these supplies delivered to your brothers. Why don't you go down to the army and why don't you give your brothers these supplies? So that's what he does. He packs everything up. He leaves the sheep aside and he goes down to meet his brothers and he greets his brothers on the battlefield. And in verse 23, it says, then as he talked with them, there was the champion, the Philistine of Gath, Goliath by name, coming up from the armies of the Philistines. And he spoke according to the same words, so David heard them. So David now, as he goes out there, he's talking to his brothers on the field. Goliath comes out, and he starts to speak these same boastful, intimidating words once again. And all the men of Israel, when they saw the man, fled from him and were dreadfully afraid. These guys, after 40 days of hearing this, these words still shake them up. So they had to be pretty intimidating. You notice how sometimes you hear things or you say things to your children and the first time there's a threat, they take a step back. Wow, is he really going to do this? Then the second time you say it, it's a little less. So by the 10th time you threaten to take the Game Boy away or the television set, it's an idle threat. This guy had to be so intimidating. After 40 days, they're still running. They're still running from this. These guys are petrified. So the men of Israel, verse 25. So the men of Israel said, have you seen this man who has come up? Surely he has come up to defy Israel. And it shall be that the man who kills him, the king will enrich with great riches, will give him his daughter and give his father's house exemption from taxes in Israel. Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, what shall be done for the man who kills this Philistine and takes away the reproach from Israel? For who is this uncircumcised Philistine that he should defy the armies of the living God? And the people answered him in this manner, saying, so it shall be done for the man who kills him. David hears this challenge. Now, there was a great reward, a great bounty offered for the man who would fight with him. And this bounty was a really pretty good deal. It was the king's daughter and exemption from taxes forever. So this was something that wasn't slight. Saul was willing to do this just to get rid of this guy. But no one, they were all so afraid, they wouldn't take it up. Now David, when he hears this, that there's this great bounty, he says, why should there be such a great bounty here? Why should this man get anything? This man, this Philistine, has defied the armies of the living God. As we face challenges in life, the first lesson we can learn from David is we need a high view of who God is. We need to have a high view and a respect for who God is. God is worthy of all praise, all honor, and all glory. No one should dare challenge that authority. David had this high view of who God was, and he was not going to let Goliath get away with speaking these boastful words and issuing such a challenge, such a boastful challenge, such a prideful challenge to the God's people. He wasn't concerned with the reward. The reward meant nothing to him. He didn't want any part of it. His goal was that he saw this situation taking place, this man, this Philistine, coming forward, and he was speaking blasphemous things toward God. Makes us stop and think sometimes how we respond when people, out of casual talk, make a curse word out of the name of our Lord. Just makes me stop and think, what should our response be? It makes me stop and think, we see a society that is passing all these laws and contradictions which takes God's word and makes it of no effect. David had a high view of God. And when you have a high view of God, that should be your motivation for taking the next step that you need to take in order to meet the challenge that you're about to face. Picking it up now in verse 31. Now, when the words which David spoke were heard, they reported them to Saul, and he sent for him. Then David said to Saul, "Let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine." So he's telling Saul right now, you know, I know these men are fading and they don't want to fight with him, but you know something? I'm going to take up this challenge and I'm going to go out there and I'm going to fight with this Philistine and I'm going to do it for God's glory. And can you imagine the look on Saul's face? Now, Saul, too, is a veteran of the military. He's a tough guy. And he sees this 18-year-old boy who came to bring cheese to his brothers and stuff. And he's saying, I'm going to go fight with this guy. Heard it once. Everyone else had heard it for 40 days and 40 nights. He heard it once and he had had enough. And he was going to go take on the challenge. In verse 33, and Saul said to David, "You are not able to go against this Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and a man of war, and he is a man of war from his youth." But David said to Saul, "Your servant used to keep his father's sheep, and when a lion or a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it arose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck it and killed it. Your servant has killed both lion and bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine will be like one of them, seeing that he has defied the armies of the living God. Moreover, David said, the Lord who delivered me from the paw of the lion and from the paw of the bear, he will deliver me from the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said to David, go and the Lord be with you. The second thing we see from David is as we face challenges in our lives, we need to remember how God has preserved us and taken care of us during trials that we've had in the past. See, God brings trials and tribulations and circumstances into our lives in order to strengthen us to trust in him more. David remembered this. So he said that, you know, this, when I had in the past, when I was defending my father's sheep, these animals came out and I fought against them. And God was the one. Remember, he's giving the glory to God. He's not saying, I defeated them. God delivered me from the paw of the lion. God delivered me from the paw of the bear. He's remembering how God worked in his life in the past. And if we're going to face challenges, and you ever notice when you get older, they get tougher and tougher and tougher. I think they get tougher and tougher and tougher because we lose patience as we get older. And we wear down a bit and we get a little more weary. But God uses these things as building blocks in our life so that as we face challenges as we grow older and we face these challenges, we'll remember how in the past he has helped us, and he has helped us to get through the challenge. When we trust in God as we face a challenge, and as we go into a challenge trusting in God, losing is never an option. Should never be an option for us. As we go into the challenge, remembering how we did it in the past and how he preserved us, losing and failing should never be an option in our life. Because how God worked in the past in our lives and saving us and helping us. Just look how he saved us. He saved us from the power of hell, from the power of Satan, and brought us into his marvelous light. When we think of all these things of how he's worked in the past, and we go forward, this is what we need to face and meet the challenge that we have. God is always faithful. The Bible tells us Jesus Christ, same yesterday, today and forever. God is immutable. He does not change. So as we remember these things, first of all, we have this high view of God, who he is, a reverence for God as we face it, a reverence for God's power. And next thing, we go in fully trusting God and how he's worked in the past and remembering how he preserved us and got us through trials in the past. Let's look at James chapter 1 for an illustration of this. Pastor Bill just finished talking about this a couple of weeks ago. This gives us some sort of an idea of what happens when various trials and circumstances come into our lives. We're in James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2. The Bible tells us, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Know that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." As trials come our way, it builds patience. And what it does is it builds endurance for future trials. And it tells us, as these trials come our way, to count it all joy. Most of us can't even have joy when we're happy. Never mind when we're miserable. So we need to count it all joy as we go through these trials, knowing that what's working in our lives is God is building us up so that later on we can face a more difficult and more challenging circumstance. That's where the joy comes from. Because as you go through things and as you go through these trials and circumstances and your faith grows stronger and stronger and stronger, you're a little less rattled. Something that comes into your way next time or something comes across your path, you're a little less rattled by it. And that's where the joy comes in. You're a little less rattled. You're a little less fazed by it because you know how God worked and how he continues to work. Let's look at verse 12 of the same chapter. It said, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." There's even a special reward for us as we endure these trials and we come out on the other end trusting God. Let's turn back now to 1 Samuel chapter 17. So David hears Goliath. He hears the challenge. He accepts his challenge. He goes to meet with Saul. And Saul tells him, "Go and God be with you." So Saul is now realizing something special about David. He realizes that David is going forth with the power of God behind him. So he's starting to realize now there's something special about this young man. There's something special about him. Let's pick it up in verse 38. "So Saul clothed David with his armor, and he put a bronze helmet on his head. He clothed him with a coat of mail. David fastened his sword to his armor and tried to walk, for he had not tested them. And David said to Saul, 'I cannot walk with these, for I have not tested them.' So David took them off. Then he took his staff in his hand, and he chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook and put them in his shepherd's bag, in a pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. So the Philistine came and began to draw near to David, and the man who bore the shield went before him. And when the Philistine looked about and saw David, he disdained him, for he was only a youth, ruddy and good looking. So the Philistine said to David, 'Am I a dog that you come to me with sticks?' And the Philistine cursed David by his small g gods." Another principle we need to glean from this is this. As we go out and face challenges, we don't face them like the world faces challenges. When Saul saw David going out, he clothed him in his armor. He was preparing him for battle as a soldier would go out to meet a challenge. But what did David do? He put them on. And the worldly way of dealing with things weighed him down. It was a weight around him. And he took these things off. And what did he do? He went back and reused the same weapons that he used when he was fighting the lion and the bear that God preserved him with. He was relying upon God in the way God had used them in the past. When we deal with our problems, we can't face them like the world faces their problems. How does the world face normal problems? They try to put a Band-Aid on it. They try for a quick solution. They try everything they can to make it go away and not face it head on. Did you ever have a challenge in your life you just didn't look forward to, and you tried any way you could to just make this thing go away? Well, that's what the world does. They don't face their challenges head on. And you know something? If you don't face your challenges head on, you're never going to have a victory over them because they don't go away. They remain there. They never go away. They will continue to burden you. That's how the world does it. How did David do it? He did it totally opposite. He saw that the weight of the world, the worldly way of fighting a battle, was going to weigh him down, and he was not going to be able to get through it. We need to do the same. As we face a challenge and a trial and a circumstance in our life, which is very, very difficult, we need to go back to the things that we did in the past and how God preserved us. We go to the Lord in prayer. We ask him about the circumstance. We ask him for his guidance. We ask him for his ability. We ask him for his patience. We ask him to strengthen us. We need to be in the Word as we go through our challenges and our trials, because that's what gets us through it. Sometimes just a scripture passage that we read just in a daily devotion will strengthen us for the challenge and the trial ahead. You see, when we read the scriptures and we see how God works and how mighty and powerful God is, that's what gives us the ability to go forward. That's how we meet the challenge. We meet the challenge not as the world would meet it, because the world has no reverence for God. The world has no dealings with God. But we have the God of all strength and power behind us. We have reverence for that God. We remember how he worked in the past. And we use his methods, not the world's methods, to deal with our trials and our circumstances. So David takes off this armor that is kind of weighing him down, and he goes out to meet Goliath. And notice what Goliath says about him. And the Philistine looked about when he saw David, and he disdained him, which means he's looking at this young boy, and he's saying, what is this guy doing? Now, can you imagine this? You get this intimidating 9'9", huge giant standing there, and here comes a shepherd boy with 5 rocks and a sling and a staff in his hand. And he's looking down and he's saying, this is the challenge? What do you think I am, a dog? Well, he called him an uncircumcised Philistine. He might as well have called him a dog. What do you think I am, a dog, that you come at me with sticks and with stones? And then here's what he does in verse 44. And the Philistine said to David, come to me and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. Then David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin. But I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom you have defiled. This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. Another very important principle we need to remember is this, that when we face challenges and trials in our life, we never try to face them with our own strength and with our own power. We have to rely on God's strength and God's power to face the challenges. Goliath is standing there. He's intimidating. He sees this young boy coming, and he says to him, I'm going to defeat you, and I am going to give your body to the wild beasts of the field, and they're going to devour you. This is not going to be a challenge for me. If he had said that to those armies who had heard it before, what do you think those men would have did? They would have turned around and they would have run, because that's what they did. There wasn't even a battle going on. They would have turned around and they would have run. But David looks him straight forward back and gives him an answer right back. He says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hands, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And not only you, but all of the Philistines in the army are going to be defeated today, that they may know where the real power comes from. And that real power comes from God. This isn't my battle. This isn't my challenge. This is God's challenge. You defiled him. You defiled him. You were the one who was speaking these boastful things against him. This is God's battle, and there's no way you're going to do it." He was relying upon God's strength to get him through this. And David knew this. He knew that the battle belonged to God, and he knew that all the glory for the victory in the battle belonged to God. And that's something we need to remember, too, as we face challenges and trials and come through them, that God is the one who's going to bring us through it, relying upon his strength. But when all is said and done, the victory belongs to God, not to us. Goliath and the Philistines always assumed that their victories were their own. They gave no place to God. They were relying on their own strength and their own power. And that's what Goliath had done. He had the javelin, he had the spear, he was a boastful man. But David had all this full of this confidence because he was relying upon God's strength. The same strength, again, that got him through when he was dealing with the paw of the lion and the paw of the bear. Let's look at a couple passages about relying upon God's strength. Paul in the New Testament speaks about this on several occasions. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're interested in beginning in verse 7. "And lest I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me. And he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasures in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." The Apostle Paul had some sort of a thorn in the flesh, something which was a hindrance to him. And he was pleading with the Lord. He was going through a trial, pleading with the Lord, take it away, take it away. And God used this to teach him to rely upon his strength and not his own. Paul was praying that this thing would depart from him. But God said to him, in your weakness, my strength is perfected. And Paul learned, and he says, well, then I'd rather boast in my infirmities and in the things I can't do on my own, that God's power and strength might come forth. That's what David was doing. David was saying, I would much rather rely upon God's strength to defeat this battle. And if this Philistine beats me and I am defeated here, well, then that was God's will and God's purpose. But I'm going to rely on God's strength, not my own, to get me through it. And that's what he was referring to. The battle is the Lord's. He doesn't say, I will defeat you back in 1 Samuel. He says, the Lord will win the battle. Everything was glory giving to God. He was relying upon God's strength to win the battle. A couple other passages in the New Testament that point to relying upon God's strength. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And one that's familiar to all of us in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 and 11. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Let's turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 17. In verse number 48. So it was When the Philistine arose, and he came and drew near to David, that David hurried and ran toward the army to meet the Philistine. Then David put his hand in his bag and took out a stone, and he slung it and struck the Philistine in his forehead, so that the stone sank into his forehead, and he fell on his face to the earth. So David prevailed over the Philistine with the sling and a stone, and struck the Philistine and killed him, but there was no sword in the hands of David. Therefore David ran and stood over the Philistine, took his sword and drew it out of its sheath, and killed him, and cut off his head with it. And when the Philistines saw that their champion was dead, they fled. The last principle that we see here is that God will use faithful men in order for his glory and to meet the challenges that we face in this world. David was a faithful man. He was only a youth. He had very little experience. He wasn't a warrior, but yet he was willing to go out and rely upon God. He had everything lined up perfectly. He had that high reverence for God. He remembered how God worked in his past. He was relying upon God's strength. He had everything lined up perfectly in dealing with this, with his challenge. And God saw this, and he used David in this particular battle. It could have been a feather. It could have been anything that David had there. That wasn't the point of the matter. The point of the matter was David met the challenge head on in faith. He met the challenge head on in faith. The armies of Israel, what did they do? Did they show? They showed such a lack of faith, didn't they? These men of war, they showed such a lack of faith. What they were is they were paralyzed by their fears. And that can happen to us sometimes when we look at the size and the monumental size of our challenge. Because sometimes they can be huge and they can be big and they can be overwhelming. And we look at the size of it. That's what these people were doing. They were looking at this as a monumentous mountain that could not be overcome. They were paralyzed by our fear. And what happens when we're paralyzed by our fear? It leads to anxiety. It leads to frustration. And what does it lead to? Non-action. When we are paralyzed by our fears and we let our fears overcome us, we can never meet our challenges. There's no action. And you know, no action is the worst thing that can happen in any challenge. It shows lack of faith and lack of trust. But what it also does is it eats away at us inside because we don't overcome it. You know, a lot of times when we go through circumstances and situations and trials and traumas in our life, if we don't meet it head on with God's power, it's going to eat us alive and slowly but slowly destroy us. It's going to work against us. Don't you feel better sometimes when you let it, regardless of the outcome, when you meet a challenge head on and you deal with it? Because you know something? You don't know the total outcome of that. The Bible tells us that all things work together for good to those who love the Lord, to those who are called to his purpose. It doesn't say that these things are good. So we may not necessarily defeat our Goliath the way David did here. We may not necessarily do that. We might have a different outcome to a circumstance. But you can be sure of one thing. If we go at it like David did, God is going to use it for good. Because sometimes we learn more from our failures than we do from the things that happen in our lives that work out for us the best, because we forget them. We forget the things that work out for us. You know, we sometimes take it for granted. But when we have a failure or a circumstance, we never, ever, ever forget it. We never forget it. I remember once I had a circumstance with Jacob and I did the wrong thing. I reacted the wrong way to a circumstance. But you know something? The outcome wasn't very good. But Jacob never forgot what had happened that day. Even though the outcome wasn't very good, and he never did that again. I overreacted to the situation, but he never forgot what happened. And he never did it again. So as we go through these things, they might not always turn out to the best for us. But what happens is, we always have, if it's done in the right manner, God will use it for his glory in one way or the other. We look in this passage that we that we see here. David takes out the stone. He throws it at him. It hits him in just the right spot, right in the middle of his forehead. All I can picture is the veggie tail, the giant pickle getting hit with the stone, going down on the ground. The ground shakes and stuff. The little stars, you see, he falls down on the ground. He's done. It sinks right in his forehead. Hit him right in the right spot. God directed that stone. God directed that stone. He used a faithful man. He directed that stone. And then it tells us specifically that David had no sword. And remember he told Goliath he was going to cut his head off? Well, he used Goliath's own sword to cut his head off. And then what happened? When their champion went down, this man was their champion. When their champion went down, what did they do? They fled. You know why they fled? They wanted nothing else to do with David's God. They weren't afraid of David and the armies of Israel. They wanted nothing else to do with David's God. David said in verse number 46, it says, "This day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I will give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all the assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with the sword and the spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands, that the whole world may know that there is a God in Israel." They were fleeing from David's God because they wanted nothing else to do with the battle with him. They knew it was a challenge that they weren't going to be able to meet. So, what do we see from David after this point? This faithfulness. You know, God rewards true faithfulness. That's the great thing about God. He gives us the power to do it. He gives us the ability to do it. He empowers us, and then we do it, and he's willing to reward us for that. Let's just look at some of the things that happened to David as a result of all this. David was made the greatest king in Israel's history. God established David's throne forever. And God included David in the genealogy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithfulness in God, trust in God, meeting our challenges the way God wants us to meet them has great reward. It not only has great reward for us in this life, because God rewards us in this life, but it has great reward in the future, because a time is going to come when we're all going to stand before that great judgment seat of Christ, and we're going to have to give an account for the things we've done in the flesh. And God is going to reward us handsomely for the things and the challenges and the victories that we have in his name. He's going to reward us for that. There's nothing wrong with seeking those rewards, because those rewards are important to us, because, you know, someday we're all going to be gathered before the throne, and we're all going to be gathered there, and we're going to take those crowns that he empowered us to do and he gave to us. We're going to take those crowns and we're going to cast them back at his feet. And when we cast them back at his feet, we're going to be telling him, "Lord, it was your power and your strength that helped me to overcome my circumstances, so you deserve the glory, praise, and honor." Don't you want to give something back? Don't you want to be there, standing there with a crown that you can cast back at his feet? Because he gave so much to us. That's the highest form of praise I think we can give to him, is casting back to him what is rightfully his, and showing our reverence and trust in him. You know, it's very easy to fall apart. We all do it when things happen our way, when we meet a challenge. We started off by saying we all have a Goliath and we all have a problem. But you know something? It doesn't mean you can't fix it or rectify it. If you got something in your life, a challenge which has been causing you problems, something which has been, you haven't been able to defeat, you can start today by taking these principles that we saw in David and applying them to the situations that we come across. And we can have the victory like David had, and God will have the glory for it all. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this great example in Scripture of David. How, Father, through his high view of your majesty and power, how he trusted in you as you have worked in his past. as he relied upon your strength, Father, as he met the challenge, not as the world meets the challenge, but as you had instructed him and helped him so many times in the past, and has his faithfulness, Father, allowed you to use him greatly in Israel's history. Thank you, Father, for this wonderful testimony that we see. May we be able to take these biblical principles, these traits, these examples that we saw in David, and use it in our own lives, Father, that you may be glorified in everything that we say and do. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.